Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, everyone. I'm getting ready to leave. Do I sound excited? Well, I'm not excited to be leaving you, Dee.
Well, why do you have that smile on your face?
Because I'm going on a men's retreat this weekend. Catholic Vitamins is going to be put together a little bit early.
Yes.
And
they won't. Those listening won't know that, though.
No, they won't. No, it'll sound the same. This is Catholic Vitamin
Q for quit claim. That's an unusual word. It doesn't flow off the tongue very easily. Quit claim.
We'll have to explain that in a little bit. And our guest is Scott Wieman. Scott is involved in 12-step recovery work, and he has a ministry called Catholic in Recovery. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
We've got a book here beside us, but you'll talk about that in the interview, I'm sure.
Yes, we will, and we're going to be giving that away, by the way.
Right, and we're also going to be doing a mini-interview. You have done a mini-interview with Margot B. Smith.
Yes, isn't that lovely?
Yeah, somebody whose music we use quite often on our show.
So, this is Catholic Vitamin number
438.
For 10 years, we've been doing this.
Wow.
I told somebody that today in a meeting that I had with somebody, and they went, 10 years? How can we still be on fire?
Who would have thought? And it's episode 86 for our local Catholic radio station, KPIH.
It's amazing that the radio station keeps us on that long. Well, I mean, sort of amazing. Well,
okay, you just mentioned you're going away on retreat, and you're looking forward to that.
All right, so here's the background for anybody who has not been around some of our recent shows. About 6 or 8 months ago, I went to a men's retreat sponsored by a parish down in the Phoenix Valley. It was an ACTS, A-C-T-S, retreat, which was really, really powerful. Powerful enough that I asked Dee to consider going to the women's retreat.
And I did. Like 6 months later, I did.
And so St. Tim's, the parish in the Phoenix Valley, Mesa specifically, is putting on a Men of Iron retreat with the former pastor, the retired pastor from that parish.
Father Charlie.
He's a wonderful priest, absolutely a wonderful priest. And he's not really retired. He's retired like I am. He's still working.
You're not retired. I keep waiting for the paycheck to come home, and I don't see it.
Yeah, I know. I know. I get an eternal reward. So we're going on the men's retreat, and there are three of my buddies who are going with me. I'm really happy to be sharing this with three other men, and I'll look forward to giving an update, some feedback the next time we do Catholic Vitamins.
A couple of them. Is it their first retreat?
I think two of them. It's their first men's retreat. So that's really
this will be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And I was going to mention,
prayer intentions.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Our friend Imad over in the United Arab Emirates.
Yes, UAE.
He wrote to us, "Dear Deacon Tom and lovely Dee." Oh, isn't he sweet? I remember when we listened in the time Shannon, he got the name wrong. He meant to say Channing Dale, was discerning the call to religious life, and she finally decided to join the Carmelite Sisters. The daughter of a very close cousin of mine in Cairo, Egypt, has heard a similar call. Tomorrow, she's traveling from Cairo to Beirut, Lebanon, to join the cloistered Carmelites convent there. Her name is Therese. I would like to ask your prayers, your listeners' prayers, for her so that her heart discerns what our Lord wants with her life. Thank you for your prayers, Imad.
Isn't that wonderful? And we do have a fond place in our hearts for the discalced Carmelite nuns. We were blessed to be able, was it January, to go visit?
February.
Sister, her original name was Channing, but she's now...
She's now Sister Mary Magdalene of the Divine Heart.
And she just seems joyous, absolutely joyous in her new life. She's done her final vows now, so it must be 3 years.
Yes, we actually were able to be there for her final vows, too. And then we just happened to be in Philadelphia for a Catholic radio conference, and we had got permission from Mother Superior, to have a 45-minute visit with her.
Yeah. So she was behind the grill, but it was lovely.
It was wonderful for us to be able to spend time with her.
Do you remember when somebody came to say something to Sister, what it was like inside, behind the grating, the grill?
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing like this. She said something very, very soft.
Yeah.
I guess they speak very softly inside.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, not like us, huh? I speak so much I lose my voice a lot. I was just telling someone today that I had an operation on my vocal cord, and they repaired the damage, and I've done really well for, 12 years, 13 years?
Yeah, the last year or two you're starting to struggle.
Yeah. So since I'm struggling, we're going to play a little bit of one of the songs from Margot Bernadette Smith's new album, which we'll be doing a mini interview and talking about with her. But here's a little bit of a preview of a new album that will be released maybe by Christmas time.
What a blessing it is to serve you, Lord, to do your will, to follow your commands. Oh, the joy I have found in loving you. Praise to you, the great I am. What a blessing it is to know you. What a blessing it is to love you. What a blessing it is to serve you. Overwhelms me. Everything you do has me impressed. Such good gifts you shower upon me. Because of you, I am truly blessed. What a blessing it is.
What a lovely upbeat piece of music that is. What a blessing, Margot, that you're in our lives, and what a blessing the Lord is, for sure.
We discovered another young singer, didn't we?
Yes. Her mom contacted Catholic Vitamins on our website, and she told us about her daughter, who I believe is 14 years of age.
Her name is Juliana.
Juliana Grantz. Grantz. I'm not sure how to pronounce it exactly.
Grantz.
And she has a Facebook page, so I went and listened to a song that she had written about St. Gianna Mola. And it was very inspiring, very touching that a young woman would be writing a song about that saint. And so I reached out to her and just told her how great it was to hear what she was doing. And I guess we're going to get a mini interview with her.
Yeah, she's agreed to do it.
That's very neat, huh? So we've done that.
And we heard from our friend Donna Heckler, who was on our show, two podcasts ago?
I believe so, yes. The Marketing God book.
Right. Well, she wrote and she said, "Hello, friends. I was pretty stunned to receive the news at the end of last week that Marketing God has been named an award-winning finalist in the 2019 Best Book Awards in the Religion General Category. I'm honored and humbled by the attention this book has received, and I wanted to share the news with all of you. I feel that we all share in this award because so many of you have been part of the journey, reading the book, reviewing it, advising me on it. So thank you to each and every one of you for all your support. Donna.
And her slogan is Be Radiant. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that feedback. Keep us informed of how Marketing God is doing. Speaking of books, Dee, we have an unusual situation. We have a riches of books on the show.
Oh, my.
So our listeners may know that we have a hot off the presses segment that we've been doing for a year now, and we give books away, books which have come to us either from the authors or their publishers. But unusual situation, we've recently joined forces with Tony Agnese, the award-winning storyteller, and we're going to do a segment by him here in just a few moments. But Tony has graciously agreed to give to a listener of Catholic Vitamins not one, not two, but three of his books: A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, Volumes 1 and 2, A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, Turning Your Misery into Ministry. And Dee, you and I have been into these books in a couple different places, and they're really enjoyable. They're heartwarming. They're uplifting. They're fun. Do you remember that there was that one, that he, the column that he did, a story that people think that Catholics are all the same?
Oh, yes.
And he talks about the different types of Catholics.
I said I've heard of all of them.
There's the C&E Catholic. That's the Christmas and Easter. We don't approve of that, by the way, but just since he did that in his story. But he also said there's the Hatchim, Matchim, and Dispatchim.
Yeah.
Those are the Catholics that come to baptisms.
He stole your line.
I know he did. to weddings or to funerals. But that's all. Well, really, Catholics, you should come all the time. We're not approving of that, but it was kind of funny. And he had a number of other examples of different types of Catholics.
So you have to read the book, huh?
Exactly. Now, if you would like not one, not two, but three of Tony Agnese's books, send your request to CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. And in about three episodes of Catholic Vitamins, we will pull a winner. There's only going to be one winner.
Right.
And we give your contact information to Tony, and he's going to send those books autographed for you. So this is a real gift to Catholic Vitamins. Dee, why don't we take another break? But the break will be Tony Agnese.
Okay.
We often read that a still small voice is in each of us. Hi, this is Tony Agnese. It's a voice guiding our path, discerning right from wrong, helping us make decisions that will forever be part of our lives. It is our moral conscience, formed over time, based on the natural law, honed by our experiences, reading, and upbringing, calling us to love and do good and avoid evil. That still small voice enables us to take responsibility for our actions and decisions. Our conscience is the best judge and jury of how we're leading our lives. When we make a good decision, the inner good feeling we get causes us to want to do it again. It leaves an indelible mark on our conscience. When we make a bad choice, the guilt felt leads to a conversion. A conscious willingness to change will give us hope and mercy and the will to make the right decisions in the future. That's what's called forming a good conscience. When we reflect on our lives, we can recall times when we have slipped and have gone against that still small voice. Even though our conscience knew what was right, we decided to ignore it and made a bad choice. And each of us can recall times when we listened to our conscience, made the right moral choice, and immediately knew that God was guiding our path. In jail ministry, I have met many good people who have made poor choices. They choose drugs, alcohol, sex, greed, a result of their lack of a well-formed conscience. In our talks, we try to instill the desire to make better decisions and to have some successes that they can build on to better form moral compass. Having trouble making the right moral decisions? Does your conscience bother you with the actions you take that go against that still small voice in your heart? Do you take that one more hit of heroin, one more shot of alcohol, or smoke one more joint, even though your conscience is telling you to stop? Do you quietly and secretly seek out pornography on the internet while your spouse and children are in the next room with that still small voice begging you to stop and asking you why? Are you still hiding that wedding ring when you travel for business, hoping to meet someone for casual sex when your conscience is telling you what a beautiful family you have at home, waiting for your return? Are you trying to diet, but still sneaking that afternoon candy bar and hoping it doesn't matter, when that still small voice is telling you that you're sabotaging your health and your diet success? What can we do to help form a better conscience? What can we do to be attentive to that still small voice that moves toward good and rejects evil? The Catechism of the Catholic Church gives us some good guidelines. One, realize that the formation of conscience is a lifelong task. We are constantly taught through the practice of the virtues. We can cure our fears, selfishness, and pride. And as a result, we get peace of heart. Number two, in the formation of conscience, the Word of God is the light for our path. As we study the Bible, listen to homilies at Mass, get good advice from our parents, the advice and guidance of people we admire, and daily prayer, we form a stronger conscience and the ability to call on it when faced with tough moral decisions. Number three, our conscience must be informed and judgment enlightened. If we don't have well-formed consciences, then we are vulnerable to the negative influences of others. We've got to work at it. And four, we must follow a couple of rules. One, never do evil that good may result from it. Two, follow the golden rule of do unto others what you wish others to do to you. And three, do nothing to make your brother stumble. A clear, well-formed conscience is liberating. It brings us closer to our Lord. It gives us a healthy and happier life. It gives us a pure heart and a sincere faith. In the quiet of your heart, listen. What is that still, small voice telling you? This is Tony Agnese.
Well, Dee hurt my feelings. She said, what a great voice he has. Just because I'm struggling. It's so evident, but thank you, Tony Agnese, and we hope one of our listeners will want these wonderful books autographed by Tony that we mentioned before.
Right, because we're not giving ours away.
No, we're not. definitely not. Well, Dee?
Oh, it's that time of year. I was just thinking about this earlier, that we're approaching the time when people are going to start doing Christmas shopping. So I want to remind all the listeners out there who want to support our radio station. When you go on Amazon to order anything, go into smile.amazon.com and designate Rim Catholic Evangelization Association. I can't say that.
I know you have trouble.
Association, Rim Catholic Evangelization Association, as your charity.
Can I give you a project to do?
What?
I'll bet that there is nobody that's using KPIH or KPIH radio. We should be able to get Amazon to also give us that so that it would be easy to...
Well, let's try it.
No, you, please. Oh. Can I give you that as an assignment? I'll be on a retreat.
Okay. I have to write a note.
Well, it's time for our guest interview in just a second. During the interview, we'll be talking about the 12 steps and the sacraments, one of our books that we're giving away, courtesy of Scott Wieman, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. And I've been into this book. It has some wonderful things for anybody who's struggling with any form of addiction. It's published by Ave Maria Press, people that we've had good relationship with on Catholic Vitamins. The 12 Steps and the Sacraments outlines in a penetrating way the essential relationship between the beauty of each step and the specific sacramental reality that can link that step to a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. Some words by the Bishop of San Diego, Robert W. McElroy. So next up, after a short break, we'll be back with our interview.
We are a young and diverse generation, helping those in need and promoting human rights. We care for the environment. We embrace authentic witnesses and dream of a better world. Our passion comes from God, who loves us even when we fall and cheers on our victories. If you sometimes wonder, is there something more? Then come and see at CatholicsComeHome.com.
Well, our Catholic vitamin for this show is, as Dee said, an unusual one. The nutrient that we recommend is quitclaim. Sounds unusual, sounds like it should be two words, but it is one word, quitclaim. It means a formal renunciation or relinquishing of a claim. And you might rightly ask how that applies to this show. If you are or ever have been struggling with an addiction in your life, whether to alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, food, sex, pornography, any addiction, what has happened is that something else has taken a form of control over your decision-making. Quitclaim is the issuing of a renunciation of that product or that personal habit, that way of life. And why is it related to our show? Because of our guest, who himself has struggled with addiction, and he has issued a formal renunciation of the grasp of the devil. Listen as we enter our time together. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm on the phone with Scott Wieman, an author and a speaker, and he's involved in recovery. And we're going to be talking about his journey. And Scott, I want to welcome you to Catholic Vitamins and to KPIH Rim Catholic Radio.
Thanks for making time. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm with an associate from the radio station. Pam Newman has joined, and she may at some point or another want to ask a question or two. So thank you for this time and helping us to look at a subject which for some is pretty difficult to talk about, but which has a lot of hope and promise at the end. Scott, where were you born? What was your family of origin like?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Midwest, in northeast Wisconsin, just about a half hour south of Green Bay, in a pretty rural community. Grew up with in a great home, although my parents divorced when I was nine, both remarried a few years later. Was supported. I would say I was we grew up in a nominally Catholic family. I would be dropped off on Wednesdays at CCD and would go through sacraments of initiation throughout my, you know, grade school, middle school, and high school. Although, you know, our participation at Mass was pretty limited, and it wasn't a huge part of my life. It was largely just kind of what we did culturally on Wednesday evenings was go to CCD. But was, you know, active in sports, a lot of friends, involved in some recreational activities at school. Debate was one thing that I really got involved in and ultimately earned a scholarship to a school in New York City. And then moved out there after my senior year of high school. Although, you know, towards the end of my junior year of high school, when I first got involved and found the first fruits of alcohol and drugs. And it didn't take long for me to recognize that this was a power doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I really enjoyed the way that it made me feel and perhaps escape from some challenging emotions and things like that. And, of course, when I moved from a rural community in Wisconsin to Manhattan, New York City, this was something that I relied on as a means for social, just to be a part of something socially. And didn't take long for it to turn from social use to addictive and compulsive use.
Okay, so let me just go back to the family situation for a while. The letter CCD, which, of course, I know as a deacon what they mean, but for those who might hear this out on the World Wide Web or even in our community here in Arizona, explain what CCD is.
You know, I'm not even sure exactly what it stands for, but I believe that it's a catechism for children, for people going through the sacraments of the first leading up to First Communion and reconciliation and then in preparation for confirmation. And so we would go to local Catholic church and school on Wednesday evening, and spend about an hour and a half learning some theology and catechism. Although I think at that point in my life, I wasn't very open to learning so much. You know, I was probably a little bit more of a pain in the butt for my catechism teachers. So there wasn't a ton that stuck. Although I would say that I did have one woman who was who really prepared us for confirmation and who was very active in running that program. And especially as some things became challenging for me, dealing with some resentment about my parents' divorce or going through just some turbulence as I was, again, beginning to make some decisions which were against kind of the moral fabric that I grew up with. This was a woman, her name was Tina, who I still have some contact with, and who was just a great support and a presence of the church, and I think the hands, ears, eyes, and mouth of Christ in a time when I really needed it, although I didn't necessarily think that I needed it whatsoever. I was very prideful.
Sure. Okay, so you were talking about your high school years and you know, the sports activities and the social activities and beginning to find out about the pleasure and the great feeling that alcohol and drugs were beginning to have in your life. By the time of graduation, how was your life involved with either alcohol or drugs?
You know, it was something that as I was finishing my high school years, was I was beginning to rely on it more and more. You know, first it was kind of graduation parties and, you know, maybe occasionally on the weekends. And then, you know, towards my senior year, there were some times where I even remember putting vodka in a Sprite bottle and bringing it to school and really pushing the kind of the boundaries of what I would have otherwise beforehand thought was unacceptable. And then as I graduated my high school year and was preparing for college, I think some of the preparation was heavy reliance on alcohol. I recall I got a fake ID after the summer, after my senior year and prior to my freshman year in college. And then into college, things just ramped up even more.
All right. Tell us about your college years in terms of what you did, what you studied, and did you graduate?
Yeah, so my college years, it took me quite a while to graduate with a bachelor's degree. So I went to a school in New York City, downtown Manhattan, where I earned a debate scholarship. So I was there. It was a big cultural change, of course, for me coming from rural Wisconsin. And I lasted about a year and a half. So three semesters was what how long I kept my debate scholarship. There was a point where, you know, my priority list was largely partying, debate, and then school. And, you know, alcohol and drugs and the pursuit of pleasure in many ways kept me from keeping priorities important in my life. And so class became a challenge. I stopped going to class beginning my second semester in many cases, often either nursing a hangover or choosing to smoke marijuana and then not making it to class. And there was a lot of shame and fear that was wrapped up in this cycle of addiction. This is really where that cycle began to take hold, where my problem and my solution were alcohol and drugs. So the problem, you know, they were causing me all these challenges and physically just not being able to participate in the things that I had obligations to. And at the same time, it was, you know, my escape from the fear and the shame that was growing as a result of my reliance on alcohol and drugs.
Do you want to say anything about what drugs you were involved in, drug or drugs?
Yeah, so I began, you know, smoking marijuana. This is something that I was doing the last year of high school. And then as I moved to New York, it was much more accessible. In fact, you know, I began selling it out of my dorm room. And so I was smoking marijuana multiple times a day. And in addition to that, also I was beginning to find other things, prescription pain medication and opiates. Cocaine was something that, you know, in New York City, I was shocked. You could just call up a number and it would be delivered to you. And then some psychedelic mushrooms a couple of times as well. And, you know, each time I was lowering my standards to meet my behavior, meet where my behavior was at, rather than raising my behavior to meet, you know, the standards that I had set for myself. And I think that each time, you know, I kind of tried something different, it lowered the bar for me and just made this kind of lifestyle of chaos and confusion the norm. You know, it almost became what was comfortable for me.
Can I infer or just ask, was faith diminishing through the period that you were more involved in drugs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think not only was my faith diminished, you know, just because of the way that I was living my life, you kind of, you're going to find what you look for. And I was not looking for anything spiritual in any way, nor faith related. And a lot of that too was tied to the fact that my relationship with people that were close to me, my family members, some very close friends from high school, that was also being, I was prioritizing alcohol and drugs and other things that were going on around it over those relationships. And at the same time, lying, being dishonest, deceitful, manipulative. And so losing some trust in people that were close to me, which to me was inevitably tied to my faith, you know, that my relationship with my family and things were, that was something that was, you know, I just continued to become more self-centered and selfish and, probably considering myself as God, in many cases.
Okay. So, did you carry this out, into the world? I mean, did you leave college and struggle with this as you continued? Or?
Yes. So I moved. So after three semesters, I lost my debate scholarship. And that was a pretty challenging time. I sunk into a big depression. And of course, the only thing that I knew to fight off that depression was more alcohol and drugs. And so this continued to further the cycle of addiction that was taking hold. I got a job. I started working. So I moved back home to Wisconsin. I started working full time, attempted to go back to school. And, you know, and went over the course of 14 years, you know, went to six different schools in several different states. But each time I was attempting to go back to school, especially in my early 20s, alcohol and drugs seemed to get in the way. And I had this, you know, I thought that this was just a terminal a chronic condition that I was living with, that I would never be able to finish anything that I had set my mind to. Whereas, you know, my priority of alcohol and drugs is overwhelmed seemingly everything.
We're going to have to, just based on time and what we'd like to cover of what's happened with you, at some point you began to realize that things were out of control. Your life was out of control, or you weren't living the life that you wanted to live from your earlier formation. So what began to happen for you?
Yeah. So, you know, I should add, between my freshman and sophomore year of college, my first attempt, I got a DUI, my first. And then when I was 21, this was about a year after leaving college, I got a second DUI, which immediately afterwards I went into a 15-day treatment program, which was mostly my plan to get my parents off my back. But then after that, stayed sober for about 8 months. During that time, met a girl from my hometown who I already knew, but we began becoming romantic. And she was from a really strong Catholic family. I was sober at the time, but then as we dated, I was 21. I was thinking to myself, I got to be too young for this. There's no way that I can be an alcoholic and be this young. So I began drinking again, using drugs again, which invariably also brings with it deceit, dishonesty, manipulation. And so our relationship was rocky from the start. We had gone, you know, dated for a couple of years before deciding that we were going to move out to San Diego, which was kind of a last-ditch effort, a geographic change to change the circumstances of our relationship, which didn't end up working, you know, just kind of like changing seats in the Titanic, hoping you're not going to go down with the ship. And so about a year after living here in San Diego, where I live now, she had enough of my dishonesty, my cheating and infidelity, and just left. So she, you know, said, made the hard decision, did probably what was the best thing that anyone's ever done for me, because I was very motivated to win back this relationship, which was really an idol to me. And so I went into about a month and a half of some severe isolation and drinking, drug use, before coming to the conclusion that either this is going to end in me in the grave, in the hospital, or in pain, or I got to get help. And so found my way to I recall the day very vividly, to the beach nearby Mission Bay, close to where I live, and made a phone call to my mom, my dad, and a few very close friends from back home, and shared with them what was going on and how bad things had gotten, which was no surprise to them. They knew of the lost educational opportunities, jobs, and, you know, career opportunities that were just going nowhere, as well as the broken relationships. And they were very supportive, but weren't necessarily the ones that could help me, but were hoping to be help me be accountable in many ways. And so the next day, I went to a fellowship of fellow alcoholics, and found that I wasn't alone. You know, there was something very powerful about that gathering that I recall. I don't really remember the content of it so much, other than the fact that afterwards we gathered together in a circle, prayed the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, and that just there was something about that that just had this feeling of being home, and it overwhelmed me. It brought a tear to my eye. Shortly after that, then a man came up to me. Probably would have been the last person that I would have voluntarily reached out to. He looked me directly in the eye and said, "Scott, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again." And that man kind of took me under his wing, became my sponsor, as we call it, mentor. And each day after an early morning meeting, we would go get coffee for a few hours and just talk about the solution. We would talk about addiction, the kind of the patterns that follow addiction, not the specifics of my story, and really just sharing what he has seen in his own life and those of others, and helped me stay sober one day at a time, and began working through the 12 steps of recovery. He suggested that I get involved in the church as first kind of appealing to my inclination to win back my ex-girlfriend, but also as a means to find others, my peers, my age, that I could just have something in common with. And so it didn't take me long to find my way to the Catholic Church, where I was really just hoping to look like a good Catholic boy for about 30 days in an effort to win back my ex-girlfriend. She wasn't impressed, and that never ended up happening. But what I did meet was a group of men and women, young men and women active in the church, who had a love for God and weren't, when I revealed some of what I was going through, they weren't shaming me for it. They were just grateful that I was willing to share honestly and openly, and really showed me and affirmed that, you know, as we unite in weakness, that's where victory and strength can take place. And I was also seeing that in recovery circles as well, there, where people were really leading with some of their weaknesses and just vulnerably sharing what was really going on. It was a huge change for me, where I was always trying to keep those things at bay and put on the perception that I had everything going right. And so this was a nice change. You know, and as things kind of continued to progress, I was finding, and I was seeing people in the church who were voluntarily becoming Catholic, going through RCIA program, and then I was recalling, you know, the efforts that I had put in as I was going through sacraments of initiation, and really thinking, like, I wish I would have taken this more seriously. I was a little bit envious of those that were going through the RCIA program as adults and making this voluntary choice to become Catholic. Although it took me a little while to realize that as I was working through the 12 steps of addiction recovery, and as my life was beginning to brighten and open up, that I was really, you know, really working through the same process of initiation and making a very intentional effort to become the man that God had created me to be, and, you know, really finding root in my identity as a beloved son of God.
Scott, both Pam and I looked at each other and smiled when you said that in the early days of this entry or return to the church that you were hoping to be good for 30 days and and win back the lady. It makes me think of a phrase or a term called functioning addict, somebody mm-hmm. who still struggles with the belief that there's nothing really wrong. If I could just, you know, go a certain period of time, I'll just demonstrate there's nothing really wrong. But addiction is something that is a continuing battle, isn't it?
It is. It sure is. And God will use whatever motivations, regardless of how pure they are, I think, to win over our hearts. And, you know, it takes some desperation to take action, to become a part of something. And yeah, I certainly recognize that. And there's, you know, no doubt that there was some denial involved in that strategy. I think that as addicts, or, you know, especially in our active addiction, that kind of scheming or planning or plotting, being the director, is something that is pretty common among many of us. And that is what needs to be smashed. The idea that we have, you know, really for that first step of recovery is recognizing that we're powerless over whatever it might be, alcohol, drugs, pornography, sex, compulsive eating, gambling, and that our lives have become unmanageable. But there's this hope within the mind of most addicts that we can still manage on our own, and that we don't need the help of either a higher power or a fellowship. But, you know, it takes that idea to be erased in order for us to surrender and seek something different.
Scott, I know that you have written a book, and I don't know where to place the question of the writing of this book in terms of your journey into recovery. So let's talk about the book and what's in it. First of all, the title is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments.
Yeah, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. In the process of writing the book, I was had some speaking engagements locally and throughout the country. And one of the best parts of those talks, when I was giving a talk outside of different places, was when I concluded what I had to say and other people had the opportunity to share their own experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, these were some people who were in recovery themselves and the part of the church, some who were seeking recovery and the hope of finding freedom from whatever addiction or compulsion or unhealthy attachment they were dealing with. And in other cases, you know, family members of those who had either been actively addicted or in recovery themselves. And it became very clear that this was something that we should do more often or do regularly. And so we began Catholic in Recovery meetings to bring people together to discuss and really have a 12-step meeting that overlaps the sacraments of the church while also providing an outlet for fellowship and getting people into the 12 steps, really being a bridge into recovery, and then also providing an outlet for those who are in recovery to have a deeper seat in the church. Now, so the book, you know, was really founded around the ideas of the 12 steps and the sacraments. And it took a little while to work out what the theme would be, but not very long actually whatsoever. And set up in a way, 12 chapters, 12 steps, and then overlapping the sacraments with those. And so the first three chapters is part of part one, which speaks on a baptism and overlapping it with the first three steps, really coming to accept our powerlessness and need for a Savior, the unmanageability of our lives, which we spoke about a moment ago. And then coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, and finally surrendering our will and lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Then overlapping steps 4 through 9 with the sacrament of reconciliation, we make a thorough moral inventory, share that with God, ourselves, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs, asking God to remove whatever defects of character are a little bit at the root of some of those issues, and then begin to make amends, making a list of people we had harmed, and then making amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Recognizing that that's really the fullness of the sacrament of reconciliation, from preparation to penance. And this was something that was probably most obvious about the similarities between the 12 steps and the sacraments of the church. Also finding some highlights there within the steps 6 and 7, on my experience with marriage, as I was writing the book, I was also engaged and got married to my wife, who I met at the church. And then overlapping steps 10 and 11 with our daily bread, the Eucharist, and step 12 with the sacrament of confirmation, where we go and share the good news with others, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and then also practicing these principles in all of our affairs. And really seeing that the church moves in a similar way to the way that recovery does, in that just like the early church fathers or the founders of the church who went and just shared the good news of Jesus Christ, one person at a time, that's really how modern recovery was established as well, as one addict or alcoholic helping another. And the thing sustains itself because in order for me to stay sober, it requires my self-sacrifice and work with other addicts or alcoholics. And I think a similar pattern works in the church, whereas, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the sacramental life of the church, hopefully we're living our lives in a way that provides truth, beauty, and goodness as a light to what we've found and then freely giving back what's been given to us. And yes, the book then weaves together my story as well as the story of many others with a variety of different addictions and attachments and paints it both in a life that speaks to the steps and the sacramental life of the church.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful book, and we're going to be pleased to promote it on our Catholic Vitamins podcast. And I'll go a step further. We'll invest in a copy, and if any of our listeners, either on the World Wide Web or in our local Northern Arizona community, hear this on our Catholic radio station, we'll offer a free copy, one free copy, which we'll buy from Scott. And if people go to your website, what are they likely to find there? What kind of help will they find, Scott?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, which is CatholicInRecovery.com, we have a variety of things there. You'll find our blog, which, you know, as I mentioned, really how things got started on the site is just writing experience. We have a team of writers now which share on a variety of different addiction types and just daily battles or joys of recovery. And also you'll find a directory for our meetings. So we now have Catholic and Recovery meetings throughout the country in 10 different states, about 35 different meetings available. And many of these are general recovery groups for people with a variety of different types of addictions. Some are a little bit more specific. And we also do offer some groups for family and friends of addicts. So you'll find our meeting directory on the website with where we have local groups, as well as the opportunity to submit a form to start a meeting if this is something that you find you find yourself called to do, or your community could benefit from a Catholic in Recovery fellowship, and we'd be grateful to help you start that. So you'll find, yes, a variety of different things on the website. We also have a community forum where you can discuss different recovery topics, things related to the church, ask questions, and share some insight with fellow brothers and sisters.
Does somebody have to be Catholic to join in Catholics in Recovery?
No, that's a great question. And we've had people from a variety of different faith denominations, Christian or otherwise, who have attended our groups. In some instances, you know, people who have been in recovery for quite some time, and maybe they're looking, you know, we've had several people who have been away from the church for quite a while. And some few people who have been baptized and initiated into the church kind of by means of Catholic in Recovery. And a few people, one gentleman that I'm thinking of right now, who after 50 years away from the church made a sacrament of reconciliation and now is a thriving active member of a parish. And he started by attending Catholic in Recovery meetings. He's been sober for 25 plus years and felt a call back to the church. And so, you know, I think it's a really great evangelical tool, an opportunity to share the good news in a very humble, honest, and open manner. You know, our groups have served communities in a variety of different ways.
Pam and I are looking at the a number of the topics that you have posted on your blog. It's really inspiring and covers a wide range of topics related to the steps and to just living our life, trying to grow better and better. If somebody is struggling with multiple addictions, alcohol and drugs, and I'll just say sex or food, is this still a proper approach for them to look into for help?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I think that it's the approach to look to for help because, you know, in my case and in many other cases, you know, it's not just one addiction that ails us. In many cases, you know, I'd like to think that the addiction itself is but a symptom of a deeper spiritual malady. And so it may manifest itself in a variety of different ways. And we see that when, you know, someone gets sober from alcohol or drugs, that sometimes if they're not, you know, working a strong spiritual program, that they might find alternatives that replace those behaviors, if not already engaging in them beforehand. And so a holistic approach, which seeks to get rid of whatever distracts us or keeps us from knowing the love of God and keeps us from being close to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's going to be, an alternative that we don't want to face. We're seeking a spiritual solution so that we don't have to cope by addictive or unhealthy attachment behaviors. And so, yes, I find that in many instances, people don't just struggle with just one addiction. And, you know, we have people that come to our groups who don't necessarily even identify as being an addict, but are going through grief or depression, anxiety, struggle with fear, control, and are just looking for a place where they can find people that are vulnerable, open, and where they can just share about what's going on in their lives. And so, yes, there's an appeal for a variety of different people that are seeking emotional healing, but doing so within the confines of the church and with the structure and spirituality that they're familiar with the Catholic Church.
Well, Scott, we could continue this because there's a lot of wonderful topics on your blog topic list that we could explore. But this has been a great introduction to your own journey, journey in faith and journey in recovery from addiction. Once again, mm-hmm. let's give your website. And if somebody wants to reach out to you as their contact information there.
Yeah. So the website is CatholicInRecovery.com. If you're interested in getting a new group started or want to, you know, inquire about starting a fellowship in your community, you can go to the meetings tab and then find a link that says start a meeting. And you can reach out to us as well. Info@CatholicInRecovery.com is our email address. And we're happy to hear from you.
Scott Wieman, thank you so very much for coming on Catholic Vitamins and for sharing your faith witness and your recovery.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
We're blessed this afternoon to be on the phone with a dear friend of Catholic Vitamins, Bargo B. Smith. Bargo, welcome back to Catholic Vitamins. It's so nice to be with you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's really great to be talking to you again.
So, Margo,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, although every once in a while we'll slip in a few of your songs and mention your music ministry. You are a composer and a singer. Your music seems to me to be recognizable, lovely and recognizable, and we're just so glad to share this a little bit. Not too long ago, we received an email notification which told us about some new work that you had been putting together, a new album. And why don't we talk a few minutes about that? What's the name of the album and what is going into it?
Oh. Okay. The name of the CD is Glorify the Lord with Me. And, you know, I tossed around different kinds of titles as I looked at the collection of songs that had started, it had developed over time. And it just seemed like that's where the focus was. I wanted this to be a CD of collection of songs that give glory and honor and praise to the Lord through their message, through the lyrics, through what I have to say. So that's kind of the focus.
Okay. So we...
And I'm hoping that people will be singing along as they hear the songs so that, you know, they'll be praising the Lord, too.
You were kind enough to send us the lyrics and the music for two of the songs that are going into the album. And the first one that I listened to, I just immediately felt, gosh, that's a great, uplifting song. And I look forward to more of the album. When are you going to be releasing this new album?
Well, it's still being worked on. The last song is still being produced. So as soon as the producer finishes with that, then it has to go, the whole CD has to go to be another process that, I forget what it's called. Well, anyway, it has, also the CD cover has to be done yet, and so... It has a few processes to go through yet, but
sure.
I was hoping to get it out by Christmas, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be, a little, probably in the new year. And, so I'm kind of dependent on other people at this point.
Sure. So when you say that the last song is being produced, what is it that's really happening there? You've done your recording and the music is with it? Are they working on
right
the various levels?
Right, they're putting the instrumentation together for me, and the background vocals happen to be done by this producer also because it's a male, and so it'll be a female male singing. I'll be singing, and then he'll be doing the backup singing on it. And actually, it's really important that this song goes on a CD because it was the last song I wrote, and it actually came after I decided that the title should be Glorify the Lord with Me. Then when that thought came to me, I thought, well, I don't have a song called Glorify the Lord with Me. That's really strange that that's the title of the CD, but there's no song with that title. Well, then several weeks later, I was walking around the house, and I just started singing the tune to Glorify the Lord with Me, and a whole song just started coming to me, and just wrote it down, and I thought, well, there it is. There's the song. So we have to wait on this song because it's the title of the CD, too.
Sure. Well, for our listeners that are not familiar, you are found at Alleluia Music Ministry.
Well, it's kind of I have right now, it's confusing. I have my Margot B. Smith website, but that's going to be going into alleluiamusic.com. Oh. Because I wanted to start a website that really was more focused, not particularly on my name, but on Alleluia Music, because that's what the music is about. It's about giving praise to God. And so that's the title of my website. If you just Google Alleluia Music, you won't find it yet because it's really new and there's a lot of Alleluia other things coming up, songs that other people have done and such. So you have to put the alleluiamusic.com all together as one and then it'll come up. But then on Facebook, I went, that was already taken, so it's Alleluia Music Ministry, and that's I guess confusing.
Sure,
I'm sorry.
Sure,
but well, that's the way it is right now.
All right. Well, you know, the purpose of our little get together today is just to sort of tease for the upcoming work that you'll be releasing, and I hope you'll stay in touch with us and let us know when the album is finally available. We'll promote that on Catholic Vitamins, put it on our Facebook page as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I appreciate that.
So as we finish our little time together here on this tease, we're going to play one of your songs, and it will be uplifting for our listeners, I know. And once again, you're going to be coming up with a new website soon. And maybe by Christmas time, the album will be released. So we're hoping to continue to promote that. And thanks for coming on with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I really appreciate that you spread the word about it. So thank you.
You're welcome. Blessings. Lovely to speak with our friend Margot B. Smith, who's also been a guest in our home.
She has.
Very, very lovely. All right.
Before we end the show, I wanted to welcome a new friend to our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
Our family.
Yeah, our family. A new addition to our family.
And the person's name is?
Jill. I'm not going to pronounce her last name because I don't know how. It's R-O-D-T-S. Jill.
All right.
And I think she's from Illinois.
Very good. Glad to have you
welcome.
With us. Yes, thank you.
And now let's just recap all these giveaways we have.
All right, let's go because we're running out of time on the show.
All right. Well, the one that we've been doing that we started a week ago was, it's actually a DVD.
Okay.
And it is What Every Catholic Needs to Know About the Pope with a host of wonderful
Scott
people.
Scott Hahn, Mike Barber, Jesse Romero, Brant Petrie. Yeah, really good DVD. So that'll be great. And then we talked about the 12 Steps of the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. That's
today's guest.
Yeah, that's free. And don't forget three books autographed by Tony Agnese. He's a great storyteller, and he would love to send you his books. So thanks for listening to Catholic Vitamins.
Bye.
Bye.
Finally, Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.